Here we are back at One Buck Palace. Happy Thursday on the Ira Kaufman podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman, television personality, radio personality.
Raconteur.
He's go everywhere. Ahead. Beats salad maven, whatever you want to call him.
Have you posted that picture from the airport?
No, I wanted to talk about it today. Okay. I wanted to talk about it today and then tease people a little bit, and it's going to go up tonight. Actually, we're recording Wednesday. Podcast is Thursday. Thursday night, I'm going to unveil Ira's fantastic beet salad on Twitter at Joe Buckstown.
I got to ask you a photo here. What airline did you take?
We took Delta.
Okay, because a former Bucks cheerleader, a buxom young lass, I think works for American. So I was just curious if you
There's always a connection with a Buck cheerleader. Always.
I'm not sure where it fits in, but I'm not sure where it doesn't fit in.
We could be talking about a plumber somewhere in Milwaukee, and the Kemper will have a story.
Ira, your podcast is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Holiday time, Ira, is zero down time at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. General Manager Brian Danahy has rolled out the season's best savings, lease a 2018 CTS for just $399 a month with zero down. Yes, a CTS, $399, zero down. Now's your last chance to get these clearance prices. Rush to Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit edmorriscadillactampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. There's plenty of other tremendous offers at edmorriscadillactampa.com. Get started over there. And, of course, our friends in Brandon, Ira, we can't forget them. edmorriscadillactbrandon.com, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Now you can save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. And we all love peace of mind, especially Bucks fans who are just in absolute terror and agony these days. We need some peace of mind with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Again, visit edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. See the dealer for all the details. Sage, you're not in your gear today. Shame on you, but you look good. You look good. Lee, you have something to say?
Yeah, I want Ira's reaction to this. Here is the Bucks cheerleader as a flight attendant, Ira. Give our listeners your reaction.
Well, I only have one reaction. Izbits, you booked me on the wrong airline. That's my reaction.
Okay.
Quite a toothsome less over there.
All right.
Now, this is the season for giving, right, Steve? The season for giving.
It's also the season for subscribing to your podcast.
Oh, I like that. But I was going to say, you know, why don't you treat yourself at this time of year, Lee?
To a Cadillac?
Well, to a Cadillac. And, you know, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa. The deals are tremendous. Thanksgiving is gone. Come and gone. But the savings remain.
So has the heartburn.
And so is the heart. If you go down there, I think you're going to be very impressed with the employees, the customer service. And, of course, the prices.
Absolutely. Ira, as I showed you before the podcast, you remain on Google Play in the top charts, sports podcasts, all subjects podcasts, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, in the mysterious rankings of podcasts across the country. You continue to dominate iTunes.
Did you see if I picked up anybody in Bali? Because they got a they got a volcano. They got a volcano erupting.
I know. Why would they listen to you then?
And people need a little relief, you know, a little comic relief. I want to know if I picked up a
couple.
They
may not
even
have power, Ira.
They might be buried in that, yes. But they need a little diversion over there, and I'm here for a purpose.
No, I have
Steve,
not.
We've lost the Kemper for the rest of the podcast. He's gone. He knew exactly where I was going with that
first
Bali reference.
Cheerleaders in Bali.
I absolutely knew where I was going.
I have not checked the data on Bali, but I've never noticed you having a listener in Bali, but we'll check.
What's going on in Buckland, Steve?
All right,
what's
Ira, look,
on?
Here you are at One Buck. Before we get to your locker room musings, as we usually do on Wednesday, I was outside, Ira, watching practice. There's Jameis Winston throwing the football. Where are you on Jameis?
And guys, on our last podcast, which was in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium Sunday night, we didn't know for sure that the results of that MRI, and Cutter came out Monday and confirmed it. All systems are go for number three. Now, I know what some fans are thinking, and you guys might be thinking this too. Wait a minute. There's two offensive linemen down. They're not going to play. That's two reserves coming in. We may see Benenock. We still see Hawley. What the heck are you doing putting Jameis in the line of fire? Before you guys even try to make that argument, put your pen down, Izbits. Put your pen down. I'm here to say it's very important that Jameis Winston gets back on the field for this football team. It's important for the franchise. It's important for Winston. to show that he's going to finish strong, because this has been a season of turmoil for Jameis Winston. He needs to have an uplifting finish.
Is that more important than him getting blown, potentially getting blown up for nothing?
I don't think you can go in thinking that, Lee. You know, the Packers are not the Jaguars in terms of pass rush. There's no Calais Campbell out here.
There is a Clay Matthews, though.
There is Clay Matthews. You can't go in playing scared. Green Bay is a average to below average team right now without Aaron Rodgers. They played well against Pittsburgh. Came up a little short, but it was a great effort. They're trying to get by until Rodgers comes back, if Rodgers comes back. Winnable game, who cares? Season's over. I'm more interested at this point in Jameis Winston playing well in a season when he hasn't played well often enough, Lee.
So to use a famous word that George Bush the first used, not W, but his dad, it would not be prudent for the Bucs to say, you know what, Jameis, season's over with. You're not 100% that we know of.
Shut it down.
Yeah.
I'm not buying that. And by the way, the Kemper just quoted an accused groper. George Bush is 90 years old. They're coming out of the woodwork. He groped me. He did this.
Well, he actually apologized, so he's an official groper. But go ahead.
I'm sticking by it, Steve. I know you always take a contrarian view.
I'm not. Go ahead.
I believe it's important for Jameis Winston to play, and if Winston's healthy, I'm playing him. Fitzpatrick, you did a nice job. You won two games. You were fairly competitive in the third game. You didn't make any huge mistakes. Nice pat on the back for Fitzpatrick. You know, your backup quarterback went 2-1. That's not bad.
You wouldn't even consider the thought of playing Ryan Griffith at all?
No, because I'm not interested in who's going to be the backup quarterback next year. I'm interested in who's going to be the starting quarterback next year.
I believe that if Jameis plays on Sunday, and of course, look, Ira, it's Wednesday, we're recording this. If Jameis throws today at practice and is sore tonight or tomorrow, he's not going to play Sunday. So let's get that out of the way.
And Steve, to go along with that, Lee, if I feel as Dirk Cutter that he can't make all the throws and I have to curtail my game plan, that's going to change everything. Then I'm in no rush to get Winston back.
Sure. So medically speaking, look, Dr. James Andrews is involved in this. We all learned that publicly. And clearly, I think it's clear that that's from Jameis's camp. Jameis's family, Jameis's people brought in Andrews. He's an icon in Alabama. Jameis is an icon in Alabama. They had a relationship. So for me, if James Andrews says, you're good to go, the shoulder's fine, you can play football, you're fine.
Then what's the debate?
If the Bucs doctors say you're fine and Jameis is fine with Andrews and his camp and everybody's good, I don't see how you sit him down. But I look more at the fan perspective. He's the quarterback of the Buccaneers. I mean, either you play scared or you don't play scared. The fans are paying to see Jameis Winston quarterback the team, and he has so much to prove. So much to prove to everybody on the field still. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is rushing back, and they're going to be out of the playoffs when he comes back. I mean, they're almost shutting him. And he's the future of their team.
The Packers played Sunday night, I wouldn't count them out quite yet.
Well, Lee, don't we want to see Winston hit the Deshaun Jackson in stride a couple of times?
In a game that counts,
yes. Going into the offseason?
Hey, they can play catch all offseason.
Yeah, catch don't count, my friend. Catch don't count.
Well, look, the Packers' defense is bad. Hasn't been good. And Brett Hundley had a nice game, but doesn't mean he's a good player.
Antonio Brown just went off.
I just don't see seeing shutting Jameis down. And you have to be thinking of the investigation in the back of your head. If he plays well toward the end of the season, if you feel compelled to trade him and get rid of him, he just raised his value. And that's probably likely.
And Lee, if he's healthy and you don't play him, and you're playing Griffin or Fitzpatrick, what's the message you're sending to Winston?
We're looking out for your career.
Well, if the doctors say he's 100%, though, that's...
He wouldn't take it like that.
No, he wouldn't. Would not. And as I wrote Wednesday morning on JoeBucksFan.com, you know, Jameis won't like it, but you know what? I don't like going to the dentist every 6 months.
Well, but suppose James Andrews and, you know...
If he's giving 100%.
Yeah, 100%. If the doctors say, Jameis, you're 100%.
And it's only a pain issue? Well, we saw what happened there. Two out of three games, he was pretty lousy.
It's amazing that we're even having a debate about this.
Well, we don't know if he's in pain or not. I'm just saying if he feels good, he had 3 weeks off, and the doctors say he's clear, I don't know why you'd sit him down. What are you gaining by that?
You're gaining that you don't get the guy blown up, number one, for no reason. I mean, the season's over.
Well,
Do you
sit down Gerald McCoy?
Why not?
I think if you do sit down Jameis and use that philosophy, then sit down all the key players who are banged
up.
Sure,
and you help yourself out with the draft. You set yourself up to get that defensive end, Chubb, North Carolina State, or running back.
Lee, you think Jason Light and Dirk Cutter can afford personally to stumble through these final five games?
I think, Jameis doesn't play, I think that's Cutter's out. And a matter of fact, I think that's his out right now. I'm going to be fair to Cutter here. And Steve and I might go back and forth on this. I think Cutter, and I could be dead wrong because I was wrong about Lovey. I think Cutter's got it out. It's like, okay, yeah, you had a lousy season, but you also lost your starting quarterback. Here you go, Dirk. You got a chance to fix things. We're going to have a sit down. Like I told Jeff Cameron on Scuttlebucks, when Dick Vermeil came back to the NFL, he had two horrible seasons with the Rams. Rams sat him down, ownership, management, and they said, you're going to make changes. And you either agree to make the changes and go along with it, or you turn in your resignation. Your choice. I think we're looking at that with Cutter now. Okay, here's out. Your quarterback was hurt, and you lost a few games without your quarterback, that you're out of the playoffs. Okay, fine. Changes have to be made. Your defense right now is horrible beyond words. You got to brush up the play calling. Here's some opportunities to improve. Do you want to go along with that, or do you not? Now, Steve says if you don't think you win a Super Bowl with Cutter, you get rid of Cutter. Steve wrote that earlier. Am I not mistaken? You wrote that on Joe Bucks Fan?
Well, any team has to operate that way.
I think if you get rid of Cutter with his first losing season, you're telling any potential candidate, you screw up, you're gone.
That's a strong point. Now,
so the only way you're going to get a decent candidate in here, unless you're going to bring a college coach in, oh, let's say Jimbo Fisher, for example, any kind of decent NFL candidate, you're going to have to overpay the guy to come in here because, he knows one screw up of a season, he's gone.
Steve, very, very eloquent defense by Mr. DeKemper of Mr. Cutter. Made some good points. I like the idea about not firing a coach every 2 years, especially when Cutter's first year was a success by any margin. But Steve, eloquent, yes. Persuasive.
Uh-oh.
And by that I mean, I don't think you get an get-out-of-jail-free card with the Winston injury. Steve, they went 2-1 without Winston. They were bad before Winston got hurt. 2-2, went to Arizona, didn't show up. You're going to pin that all on Jameis Winston? Before he hurt his shoulder, they were getting clobbered by Adrian Peterson. You're going to blame Winston for the bad run fits?
No.
So my argument is you can't blame it all on shaky quarterback play because that's about the fifth thing that's wrong with this team, Steve. I don't think that's going to fly for the Glazers.
I think
a pound of butter, a little milk over
there. Yeah, some beets. I think every coach in the NFL knows if you screw up, you're out. I think they would all tell you, I know that if I screw up, if I blow it up here and have a horrible, horrible season, I'm going to be out of a job. So I don't think these guys are Girl Scouts. I mean,
is Cutter having a horrible, horrible season?
Well,
he's already got.
I'm not somebody who judges a season until the season is over. Mm-hmm. That's just me. It's in a 16 game season. It always is. 9-7. We could say, hey, well, you were really 8-7 and that last game didn't count if we want to play that game. You take it to the end of the year and let's see what happens. That's one of the reasons I want to see Jameis out there. Is let's see how he's progressed in the offense. He's coming back healthy. Presumably he's healthy. All the weapons are healthy. Mm-hmm. Going back to the O-line, Ira, I'm just not scared of Kevin Panfield playing right tackle. He's played there before and played pretty well. Damar Dotson isn't a Pro Bowler. At center, Joe Hawley is bigger and healthy and has fresh legs in the middle of the season here. I'm not really concerned about Jameis getting his head blown off with those two guys in the lineup, so I'm not that scared by the O-line changes.
By the way, quick one. Speaking of the O-line, guys, and I even said this to the guy in the locker room today. Donovan Smith might have had his best game of the year. Well, one of his best games is a Buccaneer. Now, look, Adrian Claiborne is not Bruce Smith.
Bruce Wayne.
Claiborne had been very productive.
He's not even
recently.
Bruce Pearl.
I understand, guys. But he'd been making plays. And I watched a lot of the film. You know, when I wasn't watching, Kansas City Chief highlights, that's a 2-minute film. And Donovan Smith didn't get a lot of help. Claiborne usually lined up on the right, and they had Beasley on the left. And Claiborne was no factor. You ever heard him all day. The stat sheet said he didn't do anything. So I think Donovan Smith, we've been on him enough this year, and justifiably, when he's played poorly. He played very well on Sunday. So kudos to Smitty right there.
I want to say I do agree with Lee. If you do choose to shut down Jameis, I think it has to be an organizational philosophy where you go all in and you say, Dirk, you're back next year. We're giving you the green light. We want your players to have confidence in you. Jameis, you're shut down. Gerald McCoy, you're shut down. Pick your five guys pick whoever's banged up, who's not a rookie, young player, whatever. Put them on injured reserve. Go with the youth.
Ryan Griffin.
Yeah.
See if you want him as a backup.
I've almost thought the same thing is being done with Ali Marpet. Obviously, he got hurt, at Atlanta, came back in the game. I had my binoculars on him on the sidelines. You know, he wasn't limping terribly. He wasn't in a boot. He wasn't on crutches. And I figured, okay, he'll come back in the game. And I talked to him in the locker room after the game, and I basically said the same thing to him. I figured you're going to come back in the game. You weren't wearing a boot. You weren't on crutches. He goes, no, I was fine. And I didn't notice any noticeable limp in the locker room from Allie. So I was a little surprised when I heard he was put on the IR. Dotson, I was not, because I don't know if you saw Dotson, guy, right? That big old ice bag taped to his knee. So that didn't surprise me. Allie Marpet surprised
me. But, Steve, the fact that both guys came back and finished the game and then go on IR 3 days later, that was a little bit of a surprise for me.
Well, we're at that weird point in the season where we got 5 games left. If the medical staff says Allie needs to be out 3 weeks and then we'll see what he looks like for the 4th week, you know, what are you doing? Same thing with Dotson.
I agree with your point, but the fact they came back in the game tells me that these are not major serious injuries.
Exactly,
and there was no quit either. They could have easily just said, I can't go back in.
Exactly. It sounds like they're 1 month injuries, you know, and they're just packing it in, get a chance to look at those younger guys. For anybody who's not aware, if you're just sort of plugging back in or you only listen to the Sage twice a week and that's your source of Bucks knowledge, Allie Marpet and Damar Dotson are on injured reserve with injuries gone for the year. So we've got a makeshift offensive line, Iris.
Is it possible we've seen the last of Damar Dotson?
It's possible.
In
Steve made I hope I don't mispronounce this word. Cogent? I know the definition.
Cogent
point. When you reach a certain age in the NFL, especially an offensive lineman, all of a sudden the injuries start piling up. He was injured last year, injured this year. That's not good for the immediate future. It wouldn't shock me, especially if Panfield plays lights out the rest of the year.
Remember last year going into the draft, I said they were going to draft a tackle. Isbert said, you're a moron, Ira. It's not going to happen.
It
didn't. Turn on Isbert was right. We'll give him credit.
Look, Dotson, we like the guy. He's a great guy to talk to. Great open guy. And he's been a warrior for the Bucks. Great story. When this season's done, Ira, he'll have missed 18 games through the 2015, 16, and 17 season. And he turns 33 next year. He's done. He's not coming back. That's just the way it is in the NFL. It's not a reflection of Dotson, but are you going to bring in an average tackle, maybe a little above average tackle, who's banged up, multiple knee injuries, and he's done.
If it happens, we're going to miss him in that locker room, I can say that. He's really a voice of reason in there.
I'll just miss him because he's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
Yeah, I mean, just to BS with. You know, everybody's different, of course. Some guys don't like us at all and won't give us, notice Quan Alexander is starting to get the real anti-media of late.
I'll say this. There's going to be some changes on the offensive line, Steve, because if there isn't, the Glazers are going to storm one Buck place with pitchforks. You can't bring the same 5 starters back.
Wait a minute. Do the Glazers need to storm? It's their place. You don't storm your own place.
Well, they got to get past the guard. That guy's tough at the security guard.
He is a little tough sometimes. He still comes. They know who I am, but he still comes out to see.
He always comes out.
See if my badge works. I think somebody's watching him on videotape or something like that. That's my guess. I don't know.
That's a very good guess.
All right, Ira, look, Lee said that he's worried about the offensive line. I'm not worried about the O-line. I'm worried about the depth now. They got no depth now. But what do you see for Sunday?
Well, I'm going to repeat it. Lee, if Winston is healthy and he can make the throws, and I think that's important. I don't want to have to chop my game plan in half if I'm Dirk Cutter. I don't want to do that. If he can make all the throws, and by the way, there's still a question whether he can make a deep throw when he's healthy. let's be fair. I got to play Jameis Winston. Now, guys, a couple of months ago, if we were talking about this scenario, hey, Winston's going to miss 3 games and then he's going to be cleared. Would you put him back in? That's not even an argument 2 months ago. Of course you're going to put Jameis Winston.
Because people thought
Jameis Winston's the face of the franchise.
Well, part of that is because no one expected this team to be out of the playoffs by Thanksgiving.
Is the cloud hanging over Winston's head a factor in your mind to whether to play him or not?
What, the cloud of this allegation?
Yeah, this possible suspension.
Steve thinks it could be a factor. I'm not so sure. From what you had told me, I think we discussed it on your podcast from Atlanta. From your information, from one hell of a source, to use your term, a towering figure in the NFL, that doesn't give me pause that something dire is going to happen.
That Winston may not be getting a suspension.
Correct.
Yeah.
Ira, did you believe that source? I mean, you shared the good information from your source, but did you buy that he really had some sort of info there?
I think so. I think he's too well connected. He's heard some things, whether it's from the league office or whatever. Some preliminary things. Now the investigation has to continue. I'm going to say this again. And I might say it on every podcast for the next 4 months. Shout out to the NFL. Memo, get this thing done quickly, thoroughly, and quickly. I didn't say don't do it thoroughly. I didn't say expedite it to the point where you're cutting corners. Get the information that's necessary and make your pronouncement. It's you got to be fair to this organization.
Thank
There's
you.
Too much going on.
Yeah, thank you.
There's too much going on with potential extensions for Winston, another contract. You got the draft coming up. If they decide to move on from Cutter, you've got the factor of another coach coming in, wants to know Winston's status.
Your backup quarterback?
You can't take 6 months to do this.
Well, look, you want the NFL to be fair.
Show some clout, Glazers, okay. and tell the NFL to hurry up.
All right, Ira, I'm going to challenge you here because you want the NFL to hurry up, right? You think
yeah,
that's fair?
Hurry up.
You think that's fair? The NFL should hurry up?
Thorough and hurry up.
Hurry up is not the right term. Be responsible. What I mean by that is if this was a criminal investigation, Let's say she claimed Jameis stole her purse. It wouldn't take the cops 6 months to figure this out. The NFL has FBI guys working in their security, CIA guys.
They get whatever they want.
Yeah, this does not. So long as she cooperates, this should not. This should take 3 weeks, much less 6 months.
I'm giving them a month. You hear that, Park Avenue? You got 1 month.
Okay, you're giving them a month.
I'm giving them
a month. And you guys agree that the Glazers want this done quickly, right?
Who wouldn't?
Okay. Then, Mr. Winston, tell us who the third guy in the car is and let it all fly out. Let the media help flush it out. Do the best thing for your organization, which is what you're talking
number
about.
Three's advisors are telling them to clam up.
That's fine. You want to hurry up. Jameis's number one responsibility outside of his family is to the Buccaneers organization. He's the face of the franchise. When he came here, he told the Glazers, told everybody,
you can trust me.
I want to earn your trust. Well, you know what? Maybe it's time for Jameis to step up, put the organization first, because that's his responsibility. That's what he signed on the dotted line.
Are you suggesting he hasn't spoken to people in the Buck organization?
I'm saying if you make it public, things will move faster because the NFL responds to things that are public. Fans put pressure on when things are public.
That can always be made public in February. You know,
it can be made public right now.
It could.
And expedite.
We've already had a public statement from the accuser's attorney.
Well, that's
impugning the credibility of Mr. Darby.
Here's the thing. You're a towering figure of a source. Preliminary information is he doesn't think anything's going to happen. Who's to say Jameis hasn't already spilled the beans? And that's where he's getting his information from.
But Isbitz is saying he needs public. To go public.
I can see why he doesn't, because, like I said, that third party, from what I heard, from other, not from the Buccaneers, not from local sources, what I had heard, and it's speculation, but it's a person on a team that is making a playoff run. And that's why it was not made public. Now, of course, Darby, you know, came out in public, and he's, you know, obviously on a team that's on a playoff run. So props to him for coming out and saying this, but I heard the third person.
You would think the player's name would come out during this investigation.
I don't think Jameis wanting to protect a friend is a good reason. The faster you move it along, the faster it clears up for the Buccaneers, who have big decisions to make in a lot of levels, and those decisions start early. When you start planning to draft a quarterback or not draft a quarterback, or you know, your scout, it affects everything as this relates here. I don't know what he's holding back just to protect a friend. That's not his job. It's to protect the franchise. If you're innocent, lay it out there, buddy, and that'll help move pressure the NFL.
It's not just protecting a friend. If what I heard is the accurate person, that's not protecting a friend. That's protecting another NFL franchise. So
it's not his job.
Not his job. But again, who's? I'm just connecting dots here. Your towering figure of a source says preliminary information is Jameis shouldn't be overly worried. Who's to say Jameis hasn't already told the Bucs security and the NFL? We don't know that.
That's another point.
I know you say go public, there's no urgency to go public unless it's
Steve,
February.
Here's another point. If your story is that there were three people in the car, and I believe that is the story for Darby / Winston, that there were three passengers, and you name the third passenger, that in and of itself isn't saying that person groped that driver.
That's true.
You're just saying it was the third passenger.
Yeah.
And you can still maintain there was no groping. So
It's interesting. And, you know, Jameis is going to talk to the media on Thursday. A lot of questions will be asked. We'll see if he bites what he's coached to say or not to say.
Coached
or,
to say, that's true.
We'll see.
What are you most interested, Stephen, if Winston plays at Lambeau, which it looks appears that he will? Steve, what specifically are you looking for from Winston? Are you looking for decision making? Are you looking for the mechanics of how he's throwing the football? Are you looking for chemistry with some of these new guys like Howard, Godwin, and Jackson? What do you want to see from Winston? All of the above?
Ira, I'm not going to pinpoint it like that. It's his first game back. What I want to see is the Bucs run the ball, which I think they'll do better without Doug Martin. I mean, we've said this all along.
We haven't even gotten there yet.
Well, now we're going to get our chance. He's in concussion protocol. It's doubtful he comes back.
Who gets the totes? Who gets them? Who gets the carries?
Rogers.
I don't care who gets them. They're going to mix them up. What am I looking from Jameis? He should still be in a rhythm with his team. You know, use the weapons. It's up to him and Dirk. It's not just all on Jameis.
Do you want to see some long passes? Do you want to see them connect?
No, I want to see them move the ball, win the game. Win the game.
I was going to answer that for Steve. Move the ball. That's all you want to see. Move the ball. Move. You know, okay, if he puts up 300 yards, okay, if he throws up 3 touchdowns, move the ball. Just move the ball.
Protect the football. Make some good decisions. Move the ball. I mean, Jameis isn't calling the plays, and you want him to be accurate. You just want him to play a good game. That's all. I don't have anything deep. Sorry to disappoint you, Sage. I got nothing for you.
Nothing.
What are you looking
there.
For? What are you looking for, Ira?
I still want to see some of those deep connections. And here's a point, Lee. You know, we were all in Atlanta, and we saw a couple of flags on some deep balls.
You've been hounding about that since.
And the thought occurred to me, you know, well, Winston's tried some, you know, I think from your standpoint, you think he's tried too many.
Yeah, it's not working. Why go back to the well?
But here's my point. And they haven't gotten flags. You know, Steve, it's got to be a close play to get the flag. Winston's throws have been off target. You're not going to get the flag on
that. I see what you're saying.
That.
Okay.
So I want the ball more in the general vicinity of the Evanses and the Jacksons going down the field, and you will get those flags. Because believe me, these NFL cornerbacks, they got the toughest job in football.
Boy.
Half of them don't even turn around, Lee. They don't even turn around. And if you don't turn around and the ball's close to the receiver, you're going to have contact and you're going to get that flag.
You know what cornerbacks in the NFL are getting to be? You know, you always hear the baseball purists, they say, hitting a baseball is the only profession where you could fail 70% of
That's
the time
right.
and be an all-star. Well, it's getting to be that way with cornerbacks. We're not that ridiculous yet, but it's getting to be.
Well, guys are completing 70% of their balls.
I know.
Right?
It's getting to be like that.
Before we go any further, Ira, tell us about this amazing beet salad.
Well, we walked up and down the concourse, Lee, on a Sunday night. You know, a lot of places were packed. I mean, the whole airport was packed. We couldn't find a seat in a couple of places. Finally, I go up, you know, to our gate, and I ask the lady, the Delta attendant, hey, what's a good place to eat in this concourse? She mentioned some place, which we had already passed. Steve and I go back there. You know, we wait 5 minutes. We get a table. Turns out this, like, gourmet restaurant. You know what airplane food's like, Lee. And Steve looks at the menu and immediately says, Kaufman, they have a beet salad. I'll let his bits take over from here.
I've never seen Ira drool like that. It was as if his Sophia Loren sat next to him and he fulfilled his childhood dream.
And they had Riesling on the back, which I didn't. I didn't order one, but I did get the beet salad, right, Steve? And you got a picture of it.
Yeah, that's what's going up on Twitter. And Ira mowed that thing down. How do you grade the beet salad, Ira?
Solid B+. Solid B+, which is a lot better than the Buck performance on Sunday. There you go.
All right, folks, the NFL Photo Store. Go there. Use your Joe Bucks fan code. 25% off. Great gifts, great photos, updated photos, every team, just about every player. NFL Photo Store. Use your 25%
official,
off.
Official stuff, Steven.
Use your Joe Bucks fan code, yes. NFLPhotoStore.NFL.com or use the link at JoeBucksFan.com. That's a good thing, too. And Sage, everyone.
I want to go one more quick direction.
We're not done. We're not
all
done.
Right,
we're
all
done.
Right, hold on.
Take a deep breath. We have positive feelings for the sponsors.
Vibes.
We have to embrace the sponsors.
Ah, nice.
Ira, also, we want to remind everybody, as you listen to the podcast, you can go to EdMorseCadillacTampa.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Leave a review for Ira's podcast. Reviews are cool. Ira likes to hear them, see them. Sometimes they're funny. We appreciate it. Do it at Podbean, iTunes, and subscribe. Free alert. That's the way to keep it growing. We want to keep
like the feedback.
We want to keep the Sage on the Google Play charts. Domination for, 2 months now, shaming all his media brethren across the country.
So look out, Stephanopoulos. I'm coming after you.
And Limbaugh. Well, you already beat Limbaugh.
Limbaugh.
Should Javier start filing comments under aliases?
Javier's been one of our loyal guys, man.
Javier in Panama. Well, but let me give a quick kudo and throw a number at you, Ira and Lee, which I think is really, to me, was the story of the season so far. And there's like 27 stories, but this is the easiest. Javier sent me a spreadsheet, and the Bucks, Ira, through 11 games, are averaging 8.2 points a game in the first half.
That stinks.
And consider they were up, I think, 20 points on the Bears in game one. So since then, it's been less than a touchdown.
And they were up 20-6 on the Dolphins.
Well, you're going to have good games.
Right.
But since opening day, they've scored less than a touchdown in the first half. How are you going to win like that?
With an offensive guy as your head coach.
You know, and it shows that until you get into desperate mode, and it takes them a long time to get into desperate mode, and that's when they finally get going.
Yeah, well,
that's not winning football. That's bad football.
Well, you know what? If I could correct me if I'm wrong, and it may just be knowing me. Buffalo, didn't they go hurry up in the first half and they actually moved the ball? Yes, hello.
Hey, hello. I want to touch on one thing, Steve.
Touch anything you want.
No. Don't go there.
I asked Mike Smith.
Keep your hands to yourself, guys. Ira.
I asked Mike Smith, and Izbitz, you would have known this if you were sitting there.
I was.
I did it. Yes, you were, Lee. And towards the end, you know, now look, we've heard Mike Smith for 11 weeks. The poor guy keeps coming out. He admits that it's bad defense, and he keeps saying it's on me and it's on me.
What's he going to say?
Yeah. And this is a reflection on my column, which to this date hasn't been posted. But it will be.
I need to cut you off a second. Two things. Right. Just to correct the record. One, your column went up before this podcast, so calm down. Two, I was here. I was talking to Brian Ford, Chief Operations Officer of the Bucks.
Doing business?
I'm always talking, Ira. So I was here. So go ahead.
All right. So anyway, now, Lee, you heard me say this. You know, all the rigmarole from Mike Smith and, talking about the complimentary football and this and that. And finally, I had enough. And I wrote about it today, too. I said, Mike, it's a complicated game. You know, you put in your game plan. It takes you 4 days to do this and to do that. Mike, if you don't have a pass rush, you're dead.
Yeah.
You're dead. That was basically what I was saying. You know, and I wanted him to acknowledge it because.
Which he sort of did.
Lee, he's going through hoops. He's blitzing guys. And by the way, the blitz hasn't been particularly effective.
No,
it hasn't been. But, Steve, why is he blitzing? Because the four guys can't get it done. And when the Bucks were good and feared on defense, and we all know how those golden decade, they unleashed those four horsemen of the apocalypse, and they had seven back. They didn't commit more resources. They were not a blitzing team. And I know somebody's going to say, well, they were playing Tampa too. Well, I don't care what scheme you're playing. If you can get the pressure from the front four, you're in good shape because then you can do a lot of things creatively. They don't get any pressure from the front four, and Smith's got to send David, Beckwith, here comes Alexander. He's got to do what he's got to do, and
he's got to be creative.
They don't have a stellar secondary, so now you're putting more pressure on the defensive backfield. It's an impossible situation for Smith, and that's all I'm going to say is, Bits, and I'm not gonna fault Smith in this regard. He doesn't have the talent up front to generate a pass rush.
But he
doesn't have it.
He's got talent enough not to be the worst defense in the league.
Well, I say it starts up front, and he doesn't have it.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong, but number 32 defense. I'm sorry. Not when you got Brent Grimes, not when you have the linebackers you have, not when you have Gerald McCoy. Granted, he's got schlock for defensive ends. I mean, you and I could probably do – well, we could do just – do. We can't rush the passer, neither can they.
You
so we would just
– Steve, they're picking guys up, they're starting them, and 2 weeks later they're cutting them. That's what's going on.
I got hit you with one, Ira, and I know I like to needle you for your references. When you started screaming about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, I'm sure there's some of our listeners that are yelling, that's Ric Flair and Tully Blanchard and those guys. What are you talking about?
Steve, they're playing mind games up front. Daryl Tapp, he's gone, he's here, he starts, blah, blah, blah. They're trying to fill in, Steve. It's all a matter of filling in, and there's no juice there.
It's pathetic. I mean, let's just call it what
pathetic,
it is.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things I said, Ira, on my podcast earlier in the week is that the guys rushing the passer for the Bucks, they're not just below average. They're a level below that.
Yeah.
It's that bad. Like, it's not even like, these guys are barely average. Once in a while, they're average. They're terrible. Terrible. And it's just so sad.
And you know what, Lee? I'm not even going to focus so much on the 15 sacks, which is last in the league. 15. That's not the entire story. But sacks are important. People say, sacks are overrated. No. They're supposed to. Those are supposed to be drive killers. If you got a good defense, yeah. A sack's a drive killer. Now, you know, it's third and 18. You're not supposed to make that. You're not.
Yeah.
Now, hold on. Let me
finish.
You're
talking about what, moving the quarterback off a spot?
Yeah. It goes beyond that, Steve. They don't get enough hits. They don't get enough pressure. They don't make the guys uncomfortable. They faced Breeze, Newton, and Ryan this year and did a lousy job against all three division guys, getting them off their favorite spot. That can't happen.
As much as I hate to say it, you would think someone in authority in this building, like, you know what? We got to face Breeze twice a year, Newton twice a year, Matt Ryan twice a year. I better go out and get someone that's going to breathe fire on these guys. And
there's a lot of problems here, but that's problem number one.
It is, and we've got three out of the next five games are against those guys. And, it's a tremendous problem. One thing Derek Brooks has said recently and has said before, just a fun note, he said that they used to practice blitzing all the time. Oh, Monty Kiffin always had different blitzes in practice. They'd work on them, and they were just not a good blitzing team.
Rondé was good.
Right, and Brooks said, you know, Monty would throw his hands in the air, and they didn't blitz. So that was kind of interesting. Brooks has also said many times that sacking a quarterback, part of that's getting in his head. You know, it's painful. The guy takes a shot, he starts thinking twice.
Then they think they got pressure when there's no pressure. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Well, that happened against Matty Ice 3-4 years ago when Adrian Claiborne actually looked like he was a first-round pick. I mean, he hammered Matty Ice. What you guys are talking about, that actually did happen.
Yeah, I mean, hit a guy a couple times, you know, they're human. You know, it's reality. Plus, you always, then at least you get a shot of shaking them up a little bit. All right, Sage, anything from the locker room you want to share?
Well, I went up to Cameron Brate, who's quickly becoming one of my go-to guys, smart Harvard man. Got him to say a couple of things about the departed Luke Stocker. And Luke Stocker is worth a few words.
That was a little surprise.
First thing I'll say about Luke Stocker, just like you were talking about DeMar Dotson, solid guy.
Yeah.
Solid guy. I've never seen him in a bad mood. Anytime I ever wanted to talk to him, he never blew me off, Lee. Now, you know, he wasn't a go-to guy because he was a part-time player, a blocking tight end. But he's one of those glue guys, on a franchise. Steve, so, you know, Bray talked about what a mentor you know, Stocker was. And O.J. Howard was standing right next to him, and O.J. Howard was nodding his head.
Wow.
See, he could relate to what Brate was saying. So, you know, a little nod to Luke Stocker, a good egg, I'd say that. Lee, you agree with that?
Yeah, he was a great guy. You know, like you said, you wouldn't go to him all the time because, for the most part, he's a part-time player. But if you needed to know the pulse of something, he would tell you. He told me something. I can't remember what the heck it was, but it was like, whoa, it was something about Lovie Smith, wasn't it? Steve, do you remember? It was like this year or last year, he told me something that was like, whoa.
I don't remember, but I know it was within the last month. I don't remember what
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, or maybe the last couple months. I can't remember what it was.
He also told you something about Rachel Watson that got your attention.
Well, there's not a whole lot that you told me about. I know.
The big news in the locker room, Steve, and Lee was there, the new cleats. The cleats, the colors, the patterns. Now, as in the words of Isbitz, do any of our listeners care about these cleats? I'll say this. It's for a good cause. There's good causes involved.
Well, personally, I don't give a damn. But I think Ira, you and I are of the age, the demographic, I shall say, that there can't be anything more trivial. But for younger generations, they go, get into that stuff, Steve. Now, the one thing I did read, that was pretty funny, you know, obviously a lot of these guys have special foundations, special causes, you know, whether it be Jameson diabetes, juvenile diabetes, whatever, you know. That Lidke, the offensive lineman from North Central Illinois out in the boondocks, not too far from Chicago, his charity is like some pheasant hunting association.
Like, for example, Steve, Gerald McCoy talked about it at length. His cause is single parents, you know, and the burdens on single parents. I mean, look.
Well, his mother died when he was young, right?
Yeah, and all three of us know how hard it is when you have two parents at home. Parenting is very difficult. You can't even imagine what it's
know,
like.
But you guys know.
You can't imagine what it's like with one spouse. I mean, that's hard. Really
I can't imagine
hard.
Me having a family.
I don't even want to think about that. Maybe a couple of gerbils. Maybe I'll grant you a couple of gerbils.
And now we're venturing into
Come on blue. Now, Steve. There's nothing innocent about it. That's totally innocent.
What are you
innocent.
Insinuating there, gerbils?
No, the gerbils in that cage going around on the thing.
You know what's cute? It's cute that you think that's totally innocent. That's what's cute.
It's totally innocent.
unbelievable.
We've run off the rails now.
Lee, did you see anything in the locker room that caught your eye? Anything going on? They look loose. They look confident.
They look loose because maybe they know the season's over with. I don't know. But, there's a big crowd around the ping pong table today. I noticed that more so than usual. I did notice that Justin Evans was not – usually that guy is absolutely locked in on the ping pong games. Like he's studying these guys. He wasn't locked in today. Maybe they're loose. I don't know.
Mike Evans, always a truth teller, saying, hey, I'm not having a bad season. But I'm not playing as well as I should. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I think he's right. He's not playing bad, but he could do a lot better.
Sure,
he can
do better. A couple things
especially on a week when you saw Julio Jones and Antonio Brown. And every time I watch one of those guys, I walk away saying, that's the best receiver in football. Then I watch the other guy and I say, that's the best receiver. Those two guys stand apart.
Yes, they
Jones
do.
Jones and Brown. That is the level Evans is trying to reach. He is not there.
Yeah, he's on the level with Beckham, I think, Evans is, which is the next level, the second level.
I'm glad you brought up Julio Jones, Ira. I wasn't going to mention that. But a pet peeve of mine this week is all this gushing insanity craziness for Julio Jones, who, you know what, Ira? He's not having a very good year. And I bet that was part of Mike Smith's thought process was that, you know what? Julio's not having a good year. Before yesterday, Sunday, you realize he had one touchdown all year long.
I think he was leading the league in receiving yards, though, Steve.
No. He's
been hurt for a while.
He's only got, before the Bucs, he had 200-yard games.
Okay.
He's been banged up. Catch percentage wasn't high. Not having a good year. One of his worst years in the NFL. One touchdown.
He did have one touchdown.
So I think that was part of Mike Smith's thought. It was like, you know what, maybe Julio's not Julio this year. It obviously backfired in a tremendous way. But
let me say it before DeKemper does. You ever heard of the word of adjustment?
Thank you. It doesn't excuse him not adjusting.
I'm not excusing him at all, but my point is that, you know what, Julio Jones has bad years too, off years. Mike Evans, a lot of people are killing the guy. I mean, he's not playing his best. You could say he's taking a step back, but the numbers are going to be there toward the end of the year, and he's the least of the Bucs' problems.
He is, but lately he hasn't improved on that yards after catch, and he said that was a big,
Evans?
That was a big point of emphasis.
He's not a yak guy. He's not a yak guy. Not, you know what? I think this is telling.
And Beckham is. Beckham is.
Oh, yeah. But I think this is telling for the Bucs in general, what I'm about to say. I may have mentioned this on a previous podcast. Adam Humphries, entering Sunday's game, I haven't checked recently, entering Sunday's game against the Falcons, Adam Humphries, a reserve receiver, was leading the team in yak. What does that tell you?
That's a problem, Steve. That's a problem.
As far as Julio Jones, yeah, he's having a bad year. He's always been injury prone, Julio Jones. But, I mean, if you're looking at that roster, looking on paper, what guy's going to damage you? Even if that guy is having a bad year, that guy's potentially could damage you more than anybody
else. I'm not excusing Mike Smith. I was just tying the bad year to Mike Evans. You know, he's having an off year. You were talking about that. So was Julio Jones.
And again, Lee, again, the pass rush figures prominently, the lack thereof.
Well, I mean,
with Ryan having all kinds of time to find Julio Jones.
Well, I got to be honest with you. It's been months. Well, weeks, I should say, not months. Weeks. I gave up harping about the pass rush because what edge rush? There is none. So it's like expecting me to open up that door and Rachel Watson.
You know, you're looking for Will Golston to get 3 sacks in a game. I mean, what are we looking at?
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
I think a lot does fall on Jay Hayes, though, the defensive line coach. Has he made anybody better? Will Golston. He's worse of a pass rush than he was previously.
And McCoy was quiet on Sunday. McCoy was kind of quiet on Sunday.
Yeah, but, you know, I expect teams to gang up on him. But Steve just brought up a great point. I think the role of Jay Hayes. Granted, he doesn't have a hell of a lot to work with. You should have liked my David Copperfield line. That's right up your alley.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I basically was not mocking Jay Hayes, but I had a cut line as if he was quoting, as if he was speaking. And I said, what do you expect me to be, David Copperfield? What do we look like? But, no, he doesn't have a whole lot to work with. But what he does have to work with, has he improved that? What has he gotten
right,
out of
that's
it?
What you look at, development.
Yeah, well, like Steve pointed out, Will Golston, he's gotten worse. Yeah, he was not.
Is Baker still looking for his first sack, Steve?
He's got one, doesn't he?
No, he's still looking for his first sack. Okay, I thought he had one. And, no surprise there. No surprise there.
What else you got?
All right, Ira, before we get to the moment of truth, I just wanted to note, because I think fans will find this interesting, because everybody loves to bash the guy. If you talk to Stocker, he'll tell you, and, you know, he is a glue guy. Ironically, Dirk Cutter, just Friday on his radio show, was asked about certain locker room guys and is that important and with leadership and stuff. He mentions Luke Stocker as an important glue guy to any team, and then a guy gets cut, which is interesting. But Luke Stocker, if you ask him, he will tell you that Kellen Winslow was a tremendous mentor to him and influence on him, and that their wives became very close friends, and he's still in touch with Winslow. And so, yeah, everybody thinks that Winslow
is... We talking about Winslow Sr. or Winslow Jr.?
No, Winslow Jr. Winslow Jr. Stocker will tell you how Winslow took him in under his wing and helped him out a lot and showed him a lot. And so it's, you know, interesting stuff.
I hope Winslow didn't tell Stocker to go shopping at Target.
Oh, boy.
Yes, the Kellen Sergeant Vaseline over there.
What's our moment of truth, Steve?
Moment of truth is what's your call?
I went first last week, so
Sunday's game.
I'm going to go with Isbits going first today. What do you got, Steve?
Well, I think just from a betting perspective, Bucks' third consecutive road game, that's always brutal.
What's the spread?
I don't care what the spread is. We're just picking winners and losers. Your job is the spread. You're the expert.
Am I in first place, Stephen, in this little
You got two games up on me and Lee. I made a power play last week and lost. Thinking the Bucks could do it. I can't pick the Bucks this week. Third consecutive road game. No pass rush. I don't think Green Bay is a great team. I think by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, I hope I'm wrong. But I think it's going to be like 21-17 Packers.
I will bat second, Lee, and I will join Isbits. I am picking the home team, even though Jameis looks like he's going to be back in the lineup. Green Bay still looks like they got a little juice left, a little juice. I'm not seeing it so much from the Bucks. Go and Hundley's not playing that bad. Now, Green Bay quarterbacks have been sacked 40 times. Do you hear that, Bucks pass rush? 40 times between those two quarterbacks, Rodgers and Hundley. That's a big number. It's a big number in 11 games. You can get to these guys, but I don't think their weakness matches up with a Bucks strength there. So I am going with the home team Packers, and I believe it will be 23-21
Ooh.
Packers. What do you got, Lee?
I agree with Steve in the sense that three road games in a row, that's not good. If we've learned anything this NFL season, specifically with the Bucks, is when the Bucks are on the road, Mike Smith's defense is pathetic, especially against the pass. Watching what Brent Hundley did against one of the better teams in the NFL, and now he's going to be facing this sieve of a pass defense on the road with the Bucks. Brent Hundley is going to look like a competent quarterback. It will be 24-14 Packers. I think Jameis will be rusty. Bucks will fall behind in the first half, as they always do.
Not score much in the first half.
No, they'll do nothing in the first half. Then all of a sudden, a light will click on with about 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. Like, you know, we might want to do something here. And all of a sudden, kaboom, they'll get a couple scores just to make it look halfway decent. And there's also the temperature hanging over the Bucks, as always, under 50 degrees stuff. No, it's the Packers 24-14.
None of us picking the Bucks, Steven. None of us.
Yeah, it's tough to do. Tough to do. Just to clarify, Chris Baker, zero sacks this year in his last 16 games in the NFL. He has half a sack. Quite a pickup there by our
nice research
leadership there,
Steven.
Original research.
Golston have a sack?
A little advance. On Friday, I think I'll probably get around to typing up. Ian Beckles had a nice take on Swaggy Baker.
Uh-oh.
He weighed in.
Oh,
so that.
So when
stuff.
Next we meet, we'll be after the game. Safe travels up there, Mr. Lee.
Yeah, Monday it looks like there's going to be some precipitation, but it doesn't look like it's going to be cold enough for... Growing up in the Midwest, I know anything more than 3 days out, that's throwing something up against the wall, the weather forecast. But last I checked, Monday, which is when I returned, 48 degrees, so that shouldn't be even snow.
I got a quick Green Bay story, Steven. 2002 season, Super Bowl season. I covered a Green Bay-Atlanta playoff game when Michael Vick was just starting out.
Oh, that's right.
And they had never lost a home playoff game, and Vick and the Falcons did a job on them. Special teams played a big role in it. It started snowing, you know, like midway through the game, and it started coming down heavy. Now, luckily, My hotel was only a mile away from the stadium.
Oh, really?
I was lucky. And the next day was an adventure getting – you can't get out that night. There's no chance.
Wow.
And the next day, you know, it was good luck getting out of the Green Bay Airport. But I was there for the first Packers playoff loss at Lambeau. They had never lost a home playoff
game.
Well,
let's put that in perspective. It's the original NFL franchise. What, 1920 is when the NFL started?
1920, yes.
How many playoff games have they had there? Many. I mean, we're going back to Curly Lambeau.
Absolutely.
The 20s, the 30s, the 40s, through Lombardi, through McCarthy, through Holmgren.
Will Chris Godwin do the Lambeau leap this Sunday, Steve? That is the question.
What would happen if an opposing player did Lambeau leap?
Oh, wouldn't I love that?
But, I mean, what would happen? Would they throw beer on him? I mean, what?
And by the way, Todd Monken, watch it when you're going through the tunnel this week.
Oh, I thought you had more to the story. I thought you were going to say.
No, that's the story.
Can you feel the presence of Lombardi there?
Absolutely. Monken, watch yourself as you're going through that tunnel.
Now,
don't get involved with any Packer fans.
I set him up with a Lombardi story, and he starts talking about Todd Monken. He's not there yet.
I got Monken on my mind. Get out of here, Steve.